Good evening, and welcome to Release Your Wings. Tonight we're discussing how to transform habits. Now, these are habits that we have, behavioral things every day, not so much addictions, such as addiction to drugs, alcohol, and the like. But in this thing, it might be a good idea to just think of a habit that you'd like to let go of, to ease away from. I'm Dan Bagley. I'm interviewing Shireen Shatta tonight. And let's start off. What are some of the habits that people come to you and say, oh, I wish I were doing less than this, Shireen?
Anger is one big one. Getting upset. Overthinking. That's another one. Experiencing sorrow, taking sorrow from situations.
So this is an interesting thing, because I can imagine some people saying, well, I really am not an angry person, but a lot of stuff happens to me, and of course I'm angry. Look at the traffic, or of course I'm angry. Listen to that idiot on television, or something like that. But that's just a habit, is that right?
It is a habit, especially anger, or getting upset. And actually, it is an addiction.
Oh, can we talk about it?
Like anything else, because apparently it does the same things in the body like any addiction would do, anger does. But let's say getting upset.
Right.
When you get into the habit of getting upset, I feel some people are upset for years and years about certain things.
Yeah.
And then if the situation changes, they've created such a habit of it that the habit goes with them.
So it's almost like it's an addiction in that the adrenaline high that one gets within that feels like that's what's normal, as opposed to, and what's natural, as opposed to what is just we're doing to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The locus of control is an interesting thing here, because part of habits, I would think, is to recognize that things are just habits. Thought patterns are very often habits. Feeling like we're a victim might be a habit. Thinking like we're a predator might be a habit.
Right.
But it seems to me that if we get in, control is such an interesting word, if we get to recognize, maybe awareness, is that one of the early stages?
Yes, awareness that this is a bad habit, that this is not really useful for me, that's one thing.
Now, wait a minute, let me stop you there, because bad has the moral connotation, but you underscored it by saying, this is not useful to me, and I think that's a really important distinction to make. This is harming me in some way. This is not moving me to whom I want to be.
Right. But it's a negative habit. Yeah. And the other thing I was thinking is that, let's say I'm getting upset.
Yeah.
Right? In that situation, in any situation where I'm having a bad habit, is I should stop looking at other people. Because when I do, when I'm getting upset and I'm looking at someone else and how they're making me upset, then I'm actually absolving myself of my own responsibility in this.
Ah, that's nice. So by saying it's the traffic that made me angry, that's really making the traffic to blame, when it's really our internal thoughts that make that.
Yes.
If that were the case, everybody in every car would be angry in that moment.
Right.
Which, of course, happily doesn't happen. What about habits like overeating? Are those ones that awareness is the first step in recognizing?
Awareness is the first step, and also not blaming anything but my own self. And then also the other thing was, I was thinking deep reflection.
Yeah.
Deep reflection on things that really make life joyful. Like reflection on spiritual things, on virtues, on God, on the self. That kind of deep reflection changes things, because what I'm doing is I'm taking my focus away from overeating and I'm focusing on something else. And so deep reflection really helps.
So for those of us that find ourselves occasionally nervously eating, going and standing in front of the refrigerator to calm our stomachs of sorts, that deep reflection would be particularly helpful in that context.
Right. And also what happens is, if I've decided that something is a negative habit, and then what I can do at that point is I can make someone accountable. I can make myself accountable to someone I trust. And so I'm really honest with myself, and also I'm honest with that person, that I'm keeping track. This is what is causing my overeating, and this is the number of times I overate. I'm honest with myself and I'm honest with the other person.
So in a completely different context, that's one of the steps of having a sponsor in AA, is somebody that you can be honest with who is not going to be judging you, but you will have to be so honest and aware that you share transgressions, really, or
right.
Slipping backwards.
Right, because if you're not honest, if you're not sharing with someone, then there's feelings of guilt and you don't want that.
So in a funny way, bad habits sometimes are a double bind, because we don't want to do them, and then we beat ourselves up when we do them, which may be, I'll come back to the overeating, if I break my diet, then I'm angry with myself, and that makes me hungry in that nervous sense again. Is that right?
Yeah, they do feed off of each other.
No pun intended on that. So this loving relationship with oneself maybe is one of the steps in transforming a habit.
Yeah, you know, I was especially thinking about in transforming a habit that in meditation, mm-hmm. one of the things that we do in meditation is to keep the heart very clean. Mm-hmm. And also we make a commitment that I'm going to let the past be the past.
Yes.
That to keep it in the past. And so when that happens, when I make my heart clean and I let the past be the past, then I start creating good thought patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Good habits. When I start creating patterns that are really beneficial for me.
Ah.
And that thought pattern becomes a habit.
So what I hear you saying on this is we really aren't getting rid of habits. We are truly transforming not so useful habits into very useful habits.
Right, right. And you know, I always feel I have a slogan, mm-hmm. which means study, study, and more study. And when, especially with transforming habits, that I would urge people to pick up a scripture that they like, or it could be a more recent book that they
yes.
really like, and then keep studying it. But something which is spiritual in nature, something which talks about the innate qualities
right.
of the soul or God or where we are going, not just a novel,
yeah.
and to really study it. So it could be the Bible or it could be the Gita or something
right.
that they keep studying it. And that, I feel that really helps.
So the seeds that we plant in our minds and our hearts eventually start producing the bountiful crop of how we think, how we perceive, how we feel.
Right.
Which is, once again, an excellent habit to have, of spending some amount of time touching the spiritual, being better at the spiritual pieces of our world.
Right. That's one thing I feel. And mm-hmm. also, this doesn't seem related, but it is related,
mm-hmm.
is that I have to have a sense of belonging with the higher power, that I belong to a higher power. If I have this feeling that I belong to human beings or something very mundane here,
yeah.
my habits actually get reinforced by this. But if I have this sense of belonging to a higher power, then it's easy to transform my habits because I belong to someone higher.
So how we think about ourselves in context of our self, lowercase, our self tied in with the grander self, then that's an important piece of letting go of the little habits that
right,
we pick up.
Right. And the other important piece I feel is that if I am in a state of being a trustee, that I'm aware of the talents I have, but mm-hmm. I know that they're a gift.
So as the trustee, what you're saying here is that I happen to have some traits, some gifts, some abilities, and they're more God-given. I'm just the trustee of these. That
right,
they aren't
right.
really me or mine.
It's yeah, so two are important there. That
yeah.
I become aware of them and also know that they're given to me as a gift.
Uh-huh.
And so when I become aware of these and they're given to me as a gift, then I slowly move away from these bad habits.
And it also seems that if you see them as a gift for which you're trustee, then there's a gratitude way of looking at everything. I'm happy that this is in my world. This is happening
right.
with me.
Right.
So sometimes, though, we backslide in habits. We say, oh, I didn't mean to do that, but the piece of pie was in the refrigerator, and oh man, it looked good, so I ate it. So then, is it best to beat ourselves up or to just acknowledge we did it? How do you handle that?
The one practical thing is
yeah.
don't don't keep pieces of pie in your refrigerator.
But I'll eat it as quickly as possible.
Right. So to really put yourself in a position where you're not going to slip.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're a recovering alcoholic, you're not going to go into a bar. It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
And so if you have a habit of overeating, to have pieces of pie in the refrigerator is a bad idea.
The place to say no is at the grocery store, not at the refrigerator.
Right, not at the refrigerator. And the other thing is I want to talk about a mental concept. It's a memory track. We all have a memory track.
Absolutely.
For example, there are a lot of things that happened yesterday, but we remember just a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And those few things are remembered in our memory track.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I was talking about study is study replaces my memory track with truth.
Ah, I see.
And so when I replace my memory track with truth, and then I'm able to let the past be the past, I'm able to let these habits be in the past, I'm able to create better habits, I'm able to clean my heart. So all of those things happen in that meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And so this could be a walking meditation, actually, a moving meditation. And in that, the habit goes away.
So what you're saying is focus on the wheat and not the chaff of all the stuff that goes through our minds
right.
in any given day.
And to change it, to keep changing
mm-hmm.
it. Because you can't, you know, like discontentment, right?
Yeah.
Is when I have something in my memory track and it keeps ringing. That person
yeah.
said this, and I didn't get this, and that happened this. And so what I'm doing is I'm reinforcing a very bad memory track.
So one of the ways to tell when we're on course as opposed to off course dealing in the bad habits of how we're thinking is to notice our comfort level. And if we're revved up and angry or revved up and feeling self-justified, or feeling victimized and beaten down, we're probably not on the right thought habits anyway.
Right. And so it's important to change our memory track.
Yeah.
Not to worry about or not feel guilty about where my memory track is right now.
Yeah.
It's all junk in my memory track. I'm a victim or I'm a bad eater or I'm overweight. All of that doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
From this point forward, I need to keep doing something that I change my memory track.
So just for right now, here's who I choose to be. That's a very powerful thing, because a lot of times people say, well, I can't quit this forever, but you really only have to quit it for right now. And
right.
then tomorrow, the next moment, quit it, continue, because we only really live in the now.
Right.
Unless we choose to pretend we're living in the past or the future.
Right.
So what are some of the other habits that people come with? Are they all based on how we're thinking and behavior?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Bad relationships.
That can be a habit.
Yeah, that can be a habit.
So maybe is it just looking for love in all the wrong places or looking for love with all the wrong strategies? How does that?
No, I feel it's a habit of taking sorrow.
Ah.
That I'm addicted to sorrow.
I see. So, sort of like having the born to lose tattoo. I'm born to live in sorrow.
You know, I feel also like hurting yourself is
yeah.
sorrow. And uh-huh. I feel people have a lot of that.
Yeah.
They hurt themselves. They come with that. Various ways they tell me, oh, I'm hurting myself this way or this way. But I've summarized it as you're hurting yourself.
Yeah.
And what happens is they can't hurt someone else. So they keep hurting themselves, and they keep hurting themselves by giving themselves sorrow.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a habit you'd want to drop.
So no, but they're used to it.
The devil knows better than the devil you don't know.
Yeah, no, it's the bizarrest thing when people take sorrow. It's like, it was totally unfathomable to me initially. I was like, I can't believe you want to take sorrow, but it's a habit.
So part of the habit, is it looking for what you're grateful for, or is it just putting more study of what you want to focus?
No, we really need to lose it.
Just lose it.
We need to lose that habit really quickly.
Well, I'm thinking we can replace it with something. Is that right or not?
Study.
Study.
Mm-hmm. The meditation of letting the past be the past, and also cleaning the mirror of my heart.
Uh-huh.
Deep reflection. I mean, I'm walking and moving around. I'm reflecting on things.
Mm-hmm.
And that are really eternal in nature and useful for me.
So, in Release Your Wings is the title of this series, the happiness habit is really, or getting out of the unhappy habits, is really a form of releasing. Is that right?
Right.
Is our natural state to be happy?
It is, to be joyful, definitely.
And so anything that we're doing habitually to keep away sorrow, fighting sorrow, is really probably just an old habit.
Yeah, right. And actually it's quite easy to really have joy in my life. Is a very easy thing.
So the joyful habit is something that might be a habit that
we want to cultivate.
We want to, and let me give you a commercial here. The BKs have centers around, and they're more than happy to share their philosophy and their way of having habits that bring them more joy and may well bring you joy as well. Thanks for joining us tonight. Good night.